This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
First up on The Informer, the government's push to protect the right to be hateful for religious reasons has continued, and the concerns have been growing from a range of organisations. The business community has raised major problems with the laws that have been proposed by Christian Porter, the Attorney General. The Australian Industry Group declared today that businesses need to be able to maintain workplace standards of conduct and to impose reasonable rules on employees using media platforms to prevent their reputations, their brands, and other legitimate commercial interests from being damaged. And it's not just businesses. Late last week, the head of the Law Council of New South Wales, Arthur Moses, wrote that the laws could potentially legalise hate speech. Kassan Kasesi is the legal director of Equality Australia. We spoke to him to find out his organisation's concerns about the legislation.
What the bill seeks to do is try and protect people on the basis of religious belief or activity from discrimination, things like workplace or goods and services. But our concerns are that it goes too far in giving a license to discriminate, in particular in areas such as healthcare, where it allows, it makes it harder for health employers and professional bodies to require all health professionals to treat people equally, because it gives them a prima facie right to conscientiously object to the provision of health services across a wide range of areas. There are also provisions in the bill that allow people to express statements which will override discrimination protections that are currently in place in federal and state law, and also make it harder for employers to promote an inclusive culture in their workplace by putting in place rules about statements or conduct that their employers can engage in terms of statements they may make that are adverse to LGBTI people.
Mm-hmm. And as well, so just to walk through a few of those areas, can you give us an example of how, for example, discrimination in terms of provision of a health service would actually work?
So what the legislation currently does is it says if there's a state or territory law that allows a doctor or health professional to conscientiously object, and that's the laws like abortion or euthanasia, keeps those in place. But then there's a catch-all provision which says in any other health service, a pharmacist or a doctor or a dentist or an optometrist that has a religious objection should be able to refuse to provide a service to someone in conformity with that religious view. And where we're concerned about is, for example, a pharmacist who denies dispensing a prescription for hormone treatment to a trans person or a gay man that is rejected by a doctor from having PrEP or PEP prescribed to them on the basis that that pharmacist or that doctor has a particular doctrinal view around gender and sex.
Fair enough. And that does sound like it would cause a number of serious problems. Would that not breach some of the oaths that various medical practitioners are required to take, or are they more symbolic as opposed to binding?
No, well, that's exactly what we're concerned about. What the bill actually does is it says that where there isn't a state or territory law in place, a professional body or an employer can't impose rules that say health care professionals must treat all patients equally, and basically reverses the onus away from, first of all, putting the patient's needs first, making sure the patient gets the health needs looked after as the first priority, to giving the right to the health professional to conscientiously object on religious grounds to the provision of those health services. So rather than putting the patient first, it puts the health practitioner's religious objections first, and then requires the professional body or the employer to justify why their rules require all members of their profession or everyone in their hospital or everyone in their pharmacy, why their rules are justified in requiring those people to treat people equally in the access to healthcare.
Has there been a push from the medical profession for these kinds of protections? Where's this coming from?
We're not sure exactly where it's coming from in terms of there's no need for it.
Yeah, I guess, I'm kind of wondering whether, in terms of the overall motivation for the legislation, like obviously the Israel-Folau saga has been the initiating event, but when you're talking about health services, that just sounds like an enormous expansion, like even on what we've been talking about up until this point. Like giving people the right to discriminate and refuse to provide health services seems quite astonishing.
Well, I think perhaps the way that the bill is drafted currently, and it's only an exposure draft, so there's a consultation going on, but it's possible that the government just has not paid attention to the consequences of the breadth of the way that these things have been expressed in the current legislation. They may be trying to seek some preservation of a right to conscientious object in access to services like abortion or euthanasia, but that's not what they've actually achieved in the way they've drafted the legislation.
That was Ghassan Kassisi from Equality Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.